In this age of decadence, lack of direction and purpose, God has raised a servant, Yemi Adeleju, to raise models of integrity and power. Models that rise above the limit of their birth, backgrounds and circumstances to dimensions beyond their imaginations. Come, let God show you how the vehicle of grace can take you from where you are to where He has ordained you to be. Grow in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ through the preaching and the teaching of the Word of Life. Join Yemi Adeleju for the Word of His Grace.
God is great. God is great. Go ahead now. Go ahead now. Describe how great your God is. Wallow me, O God. Oshikalama Karonosu Sabala. Wallow Braya Babala Badada. You are great. You are great. You are great. You are great. Thank you, mighty Father. In Jesus' precious name, we have worshipped. Our confession, our faith, O God, is that there is no other God like you, that you alone are God. And you are mighty to save. Your power is great, greater than all our situations, greater than all circumstances of life. You are God. You are God. And there is no mountain that can stand before you. There is no situation, there is no sickness, there is no disease, there is no trouble, there is no problem that can stand before you that will not bow to the authority of your word. We are grateful for having your word. We are grateful for your word, which is the word of life, the word that changes lives and situations and circumstances of people. We are grateful for the access to that word. We are grateful for access to you. Thank you, Father. Lord, we have come before you. We ask that you will speak to us yourself. Honor your name in our lives. Let none of us go back the same way we came today. Let your name be forever honored. In Jesus' precious name, we have worshiped. Keep standing, keep standing. Keep standing. You give Jesus a big clap of him. Still standing. Let's stand quiet and go to your seat. Thank you. While you are standing, please pick your Bible and let's open to the epistle, the second epistle of Peter. I welcome you all to church this morning, and I welcome all our internet viewers. I welcome you all in the name of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. The God of heaven will bless you in the name of Jesus. All right, 1 Peter chapter 1, we're going to read from verse 3 to verse number 8. 2 Peter chapter 1 from verse 3 to verse 8. Are you ready? One, two, go. According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. Thank you. May you not be unfruitful. May you not be barren. In the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. In Jesus' precious name. You may please be seated. Thank you. Thank you for reading from your Bible and not waiting for media. I want to speak this morning on the subject I have titled Balance. Somebody say balance. In the passage that we considered, the Apostle Peter was asking for balance. For to maintain balance, certain things must be added to your faith for balance. But let me start like this, that anything or many things are challenged or disadvantaged in life because they are not balanced. Many things in life, they are challenged, they are at a disadvantage because they are not balanced. Anything not balanced may not be able to fulfill its potential or purpose. Anything that is not balanced will not fulfill its purpose. Can I have them? One chair, thank you. The chair you are sitting on has a purpose. The purpose is to for you to sit on it. Is that okay? Okay. You sit on the chair and you are comfortably seated. Is that okay? My brother, please come and sit on this chair. You. Look at it very well. The purpose of this chair is to make someone to sit on it. Is that not so? Yeah. It has the potential to carry anybody. But now, can you sit on this chair? Caveat. You don't think so? Why? One leg is, what does that mean? It's not balanced. Thank you. I was thinking I was going to sit. Mofe Sari so pe, at the sitter's risk. The potential of this chair, original design, was to seat anyone. But one leg is missing. So it is not balanced. So it cannot fulfill its purpose. It cannot fulfill its potential because something is missing. There is no balance. A life that is not balanced will not be able to fulfill its potential. You carry great potentials on your inside. Thank you, Nikin. Actually, I even have asked you to sit on it. You brought it for me. You carry great potential. Come on, somebody say, I'm a great destiny. I carry great potential. I have a great purpose. I will fulfill my purpose. Say amen if you believe. Anything not balanced, any life that is not balanced will not be able to fulfill its purpose. Now, how many of you know how to drive? How many of you learned driving with manual car? Let me see your hand. You learned by manual. How many people put your, if you can drive, but you can only drive automatic, let me see your hand. You can only drive automatic. Let me see your hand. And Latin or come out to and learn how to drive. One of the things you learn when driving a manual car is balance. When you are inclining, when you are driving a steep incline, there is the need for you to maintain balance. Now, look at this. Thank you very much. Driving, you have no problem if there is no traffic. But the moment there is traffic, let me give you an example of a steep place, Veterinary Junction. You are coming from St. Louis Grammar School, Mokola to Veterinary, and there is a traffic. I mean, there's traffic rather. Cars are speeding from both angles, so you need to pause. Now, at that point, if you don't know how to maintain balance, the car will go backward, and you may crash. When I was learning to drive, and I first got to that place, and I couldn't maintain balance, I burnt the clutch. And it was going back, so I could park. Otherwise, because it's sippy, I would crash. So I called the church driver. Jomo, I'm veterinary junction. Come on, to the venture. So my office was somewhere at Sango. So he came to me, he said, "Oga, am I balance here? Money kilo balance. So he began to show me how to balance. You press the clutch and the accelerator, you maintain a balance. So the car will stop. So when there is, you want to move, you just raise this a little and press this more, and then you move. Balance. There are many lives who cannot maintain balance, and they have crashed like this vehicle because they do not know how to balance their lives. In life, there are always and usually two extremes. And those who will succeed are those who are wise, and those who will maintain a balance between the two extremes. Sometimes the extremes are not cuckoo wrong. They are not sinful. They are not evil. But you must just maintain balance if you are going to succeed. Somebody say, "I will succeed." Somebody say, "My destiny will not crash." Somebody say, "My destiny will not go down. And my destiny will not crash. And we had balance in the name of Jesus." So for us to live up to our purpose and potentials, we must balance our lives in several areas. Let me mention some of the areas where time will permit me. As far as we are concerned, number one, salvation plus transformation. That is one area of deficiency where we lack balance in the church. You cannot be saved and not be changed. I will take that again. You cannot be saved and not be changed. There are lots of people today in our churches who claim to be saved. They claim to be saved, but there is no transformation in their lives. We cannot see changes in their lives. One man started a church. It was a church in the desert. His name was called John. Matthew chapter 3. Look at it from verse number 5. I'm actually going to verse 8. But from verse 5. "Then went out to him Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region round about Jordan." This man started a church in the desert, in the wilderness. But they came to him confessing their sins, and he baptized them. Verse 7. And then when he now saw, verse number 7, when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism. Pharisees, Sadducees, these men came. Big men in the society. But there was no transformation, no change in their lives. So he said to them, "O generations of vipers, who has warned you to flee from the wrath that is to come?" In verse number 8, he now said, "Bring forth therefore fruits that is meet," or that are meet for repentance. There are fruits that you must produce if you are saved, if you have met him. Let's read that verse in Bible in basic English and the Message translation in NLT. If you have those translations, the Bible in basic English, thank you. "Let your change of heart be seen in your works." There must be balance. Transformation must follow salvation. I used to fight. I'm now born again, and I'm still a fighter, bro. You are not saved. My problem was adultery and fornication. Now I am born again. I am a member of the church. I am even a worker in the church. But this area, I'm still praying. Bro, your salvation is suspect. Salvation. Transformation must follow it. The reason why the church is weak is because we have so many people who claim to be saved but not transformed. The New Living Translation says, prove by the way you live that you have repented of your sins and that you have turned to God. It is the way you live that will show to us that you are saved. Message Translation, look at what Message says. It's your life that must change, not your skin. It's your life, not your skin, not your body. It's not that now that I'm black, to show I'm saved, I must now be white. Not now that I'm saved, I need to dress in a particular way. No, it's not your skin. It's your life. Your life must change. Your life must change. So, you are in the church. You are saved. Are you transformed? Have you been changed? Change. Change the proof that you are saved. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 17. We quote it always. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. We quote it all the time. All things are passed away. Have all things passed away from your life? Have all things become new? That is very important. That is very, very important. In Galatians chapter 1, verse 24, Paul said, and they glorified God in me. I love the Yoruba rendition. Nitori mi won si yin Olorun lugo. And I explained, I think, at the school of the spirit, I can't remember where I explained recently, that, is anybody? Yesterday, school of the spirit. No, there's no school. Oh, sorry. Don't confuse me, it's not yesterday. 30 days of glory, you said, Jari. Why did they glorify God in Paul? Because they saw transformation in his life. If you look at preceding verses, let me show you who Paul was. Who he was. Galatians chapter 1. Look at it from verse 13 to verse 16. Galatians 1, 13 to 16. For ye have heard my conversation in time past in the Jewish religion. I was very religious. How that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it. He was a persecutor. He was a waster. And I profited in the Jewish religion above many of my equals in my own nation, being exceedingly zealous of the traditions of our father. He was very traditional. Then he said, but when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace, immediately I did not confer, that's the next verse, with flesh and blood. I mean, when God called me to reveal his son in me, I didn't confer with flesh and blood. He now jumped to verse 21. Verse 21. Look at what he now said. He said in verse 21, afterwards I came to the region of Syria and Cilicia. We're going to verse 22 now. Let the media person be with me, spirit, soul, and body. And was unknown by face unto the churches of Judea, which were in Christ. They didn't know me by face, but this was the only thing they knew. But they had heard only that he which persecuted us in time past now preached the faith which he once destroyed. That man has changed. The man who was persecuting us before, the man who was a terrorist before, is now preaching the gospel. Then he now said in verse 24, and they glorified God in me because of his changed life. What has changed in your life? Are people not abusing church and your pastor and Jesus because of you? Are they not blaspheming the name of the Lord and church because of you? Oh, he's going to that church. Then they will start labeling your church because of your unchanged life and attitude. My dear brothers and sisters, please, your salvation must be balanced with transformation, with change. That is how to balance your life. Anything not balanced will not fulfill its purpose. So, balance. You cannot be saved and not be changed. Say that with me. The Jews glorified God in Paul because they could see the testimony of a changed life. Number two area that you must maintain balance is grace plus responsibility. I hope you are following me. Grace must be with responsibility. Grace. The message of grace has been abused. And I have told you there are two extremes. Abused. A part of the message of grace says, once you are saved, you are saved. Anything you do with your life no longer counts. Now you are saved. That is not so. Grace must be with responsibility. There are some people who believe, I have grace. Grace of God will do it. And they are not working. They are not doing anything to their lives. You are a failure. God will do for you the impossible things that you cannot do for yourself. God will not do for you the things you can do for yourself. So you must maintain balance. Add balance to your life. Add balance to your life. I want to make A. I am not now praying. Balance, sister. Balance, brother. Go and read. Go and study. Go and study. I was just sharing at the school of the spirit. When you see little children who will wake up by themselves, children in the middle of the night to read. That's an excellent child going somewhere. Even if they say you are not brilliant. If they say you are brilliant. And you are able to get yourself to read. Self-leadership. You lead yourself. You motivate yourself. No parent is telling you to read. You are the one that is motivated to read. You are leading yourself. Self-leadership is the ability to get yourself to do what you ought to do or what ought to be done, when it should be done, whether you feel like it or not, and still do it well. Self-leadership. Grace must be with responsibility. That is what I am saying. I am folding my hands. I am not walking. I am claiming grace. I am singing grace. I am not doing anything. Brother, I am on my way to failure and hunger. Balance. Grace must be with responsibility. Somebody say grace must be. Finish it. Grace is not an escape route from responsibility. It is not. Rather, grace places great responsibility on your head. That's what grace does. It places a great responsibility. You've heard the saying, to whom much is given, much is expected. So to whom grace is given, responsibility is expected. Labor is expected. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, Paul the apostle said in verse number 9 and verse number 10, in verse 9 he said, I am the least of the apostles. I am not worthy to be called an apostle. But you could see his distinguished life. Because I persecuted the church. So in verse 10, he said, but by the grace of God, somebody shout grace. I am what I am. What you fail to realize is, you think grace is your maker. Grace makes a man. Yes, I agree. But there is a part of responsibility. By the grace of God, I am what I am. And the grace which was upon me was not in vain, but I labored. Grace is a laborer. Grace does not fold his hands, waiting for things to happen. Grace is not an escape from responsibility. Grace is not a liberty to sin. Grace is not a license for lawlessness. Grace is not a blanket for laziness. Grace is not liberty to sin. Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. Grace is not a license for lawlessness. You can be lawless and claim grace. How can I ever forget this friend of mine who was always claiming grace in the university? Somebody was holding, I will never forget, sweet chocolate. One of these chocolate sweet. Then he snatched it. He snatched it. And as he snatched it, he said, "I receive it." And he opened it. I thought it was okay. And it swallowed. He said, "I receive it in Jesus' name. You are a thief." That's not grace. Grace does not give anybody anything like that. It is not, what? License for lawlessness. Say that with me. Grace is not, blanket for laziness. Is that a blanket for laziness? Ah, exam is coming. Hey, can we, oh, grace will speak for me. Paul said, "I labor." Balance. Have balance on your life. Let me tell your neighbor, have balance on your life. Grace must be with responsibility. The immature people, they want opportunities without responsibility. Grace is not like that, though. Grace. May God give you grace. In other words, may you be responsible. Number three, where there must be balance, and the church is failing here. Power must be with wisdom. Power plus wisdom. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 24, after Paul had said the Jews look for a sign and the Greek, they look for wisdom. He said, "But to us who are saved, both Jews and Greeks, Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God." The church has embraced the power of God. We have neglected the wisdom of God. So the church has the power to bind the devil, to cast out the devil, but we lack the wisdom to make a difference in our world. We are asked, Jesus said, Paul speaking in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 10. Please look at it, everybody. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 10. Look at it in your Bible. Look at it in your Bible. Open your Bible. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 10. Look at what God decides or intends to do. The Bible says, "To the intent," the intention of God is that unto the principalities and not even men. God has gone beyond men, but to the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church. What? The power of God is uncontestable. Nobody can contest the power of God. You can't contest it. But the wisdom of God, God wants to make his wisdom known. God wants to make his wisdom known, and he wants to do that through the church. But the church lacks wisdom. The church embraces power. Power of God. Power. Excuse me, sir. Okay, wisdom. If you have power without wisdom, that power will kill you. People with power without wisdom, that power will destroy them. One soldier had power, dunamis. They gave him gun. And in a fit of anger, without wisdom, shot at his superior. And he killed him. Wisdom will teach you how to manage the power that you have been given. Wealth is power. Without wisdom, you just, I buy. And I spend money anyhow. I have financial power, but I lack the wisdom to manage it. When you have financial power, you must have the wisdom to make money, to manage money, to multiply money. Not the one you foolishly did many years ago. Making, managing, multiplying. They beg me to do MMM. I said, "Laye, I don't even have the money to do it." In fact, a man of God asked me to use church money to do MMM. I said, "Laye, don't ever go there. Don't Laye." He said, "This thing is working." I said, "You know what? If you so much, he loves the church. If you so much love the church, use your money to do MMN in the name of the church. I said, when the prophet now comes, since it's your money, you may take your money. And if you feel like giving it to the church, then use money to do MMN. I have never done any sort of thing. I've never done it. Before I got born again, I got born again at the age of 17. So if I had not met Christ, I would have been a scammer. I would have been doing bad things because I was always winning game card. How many of you know how to play to throw card? Head or tail. Have you played that before? Head or tail. We put money there, head or tail. And I have two master cards. I join two heads together, so it gives me tail. Anywhere I turn, it's tail. I join two tails together, it gives me head. Anywhere I turn, it's head. So, and I will keep them under, neatly done. So, if you say head, or if you say, okay, you choose head, I will bring my own tail. I was always winning. Minus that one. To put money in any other thing, to stake anything. I have never done. I saw my father doing pool betting. He never won. So I will never use my money to do that one. You don't know how to manage money. You don't know how to multiply money. It enters your hand. So you have financial power, but you lack wisdom to manage. Anything you see, you buy. Now small money has entered your hand, and then you started buying everything. You go to all the eateries in town. There's a new one there. Let's go there. They say, oh, pepper soup is better here. Oh, let's go there. Hey, say, this is their shawarma is super here. Oh, let's go there. You are the one who has tasted all the shawarma in town. I'm not saying it is wrong. But please, have the wisdom to manage your resources. I'm not saying it's bad to give yourself good treat. Please, enjoy your life. Spend your money. But be wise. That's what I'm saying. So that don't go and say, in that church, pastor said, don't enjoy your life. Don't spend your money. That's not what I said. What I'm saying is, put balance to your life. If you have money that cannot meet all your needs, then you should spend that money on what will advance your destiny, not on perishables. I need a new phone. And I want to buy a plot of land. Or I want to write an exam. I want to write a professional exam and I need a new phone. My money can only buy phone or do exam, cannot do both. So the wisdom will teach you to spend the money to do exam. If you pass the exam you pass may be able to give you money to buy good food much later. Wisdom. I tell you the story, personal experience, me and my wife. When we had our firstborn, year 2000, I wanted to do naming ceremony. And my wife asked me, my salary was $30,000 in a month. So she asked me for money to buy clothes for the first naming of our firstborn. I didn't have much money. So I said to her, I might not be able to afford $15,000. My salary was $30,000. $15,000 to buy clothes, half of the salary gone. Don't forget I have paid title. And we will buy food. And I've given her $10,000 for allowance for the month. So out of my $20,000, I have given tithe $3,000. Remaining how much? $17,000. You're asking for $15,000 to buy. I said, I don't have. She said, okay, I want to buy. I said, okay, buy for yourself. So I gave her, I can't remember how much I gave her, maybe $2,500. Then I asked her to add $2,500 to it, to buy. She was angry. She said, no. Blah, blah, blah. And she said, and then she reported me to my sister. My sister, you know, that one has not traveled. She's the one in the U.S. She has not gone then. And that one has mouth. Can abuse you on top of your own thing. She can abuse you on your clothes. Don't wear that clothes today. Wear it tomorrow. It's my clothes. I bought it with my mates today. I want to wear it. She will fight you. She will fight and make you feel like you have done something bad. But it's my clothes. I bought it with my money. It's today. I want to wear it. She may tell you, no, it's not today. Don't wear it today. Wear it next Sunday. She may have her own reason. Or maybe next Sunday is her birthday. I don't know. She said, it's next Sunday. I said, I'm not wearing it. It's today. I want to wear it. And she may fight you. That's the type of person. So she called me. But Leo, correct pastors, they treat their wives well. Correct pastors, they make money available for their wife to buy good clothes. Your wife is just asking you, you are giving us stupid 2,000. I said, hey, bummit. When I mentioned Abusi, I will not, hey, oh, sister. You are my big sister now. She's also your sister. Give her the money. You just said to instead of abuse, give her. And so that maybe ceremony, my wife was frowning her face, blah, blah, blah. And it happened to be on a Sunday. I just came back from church, full jacket, and was jumping. And so it was a shirt I wore in church. And, you know, and hey, everybody, thank you for coming. Hey. So I said, Ojereri, video. She's watching now. She'll be smiling where she is. A month or so after, she got a job as an architect. So she went for an interview and they said, oh, we like your result, but we can't give you this job now, but we don't want to deny you. We're going to reserve this job for you. We will give you 6 months to go and learn AutoCAD. Architect, you know AutoCAD. To go and learn AutoCAD. Once you have that result, then we will take it. But we'll keep this job. Anytime you have AutoCAD certificate, come and take this job. We'll reserve it for you. So she came back home crying. I said, what? They said, I should go and... And it's expensive. I said, how much? I can't remember how much. Maybe 50,000 naira the training. I said, hey, can they allow us to pay instrumentally? She said, yes. So I wrote half. Check, half. I gave her. Then she looked at the check. She said, you know, sometimes you don't even, I don't even know how to talk to you. 2 months, about 2 months ago, I asked you for money to do naming ceremony, to buy clothes for your firstborn, your own firstborn. You didn't give me. Now, you gave me money, you are giving me money, so I don't even know whether. I said, let's do finance 101. Sit down. Hear what I told her. I said, money spent is money gone. In the wisdom, in money spent is money gone. The phone you bought, money gone. The clothes you bought, money gone. Your shoe, money gone. Your glasses, money gone. Your braces, money gone. So I could abuse. Those of you are wearing braces, so you, I'm not wearing braces, so it's money gone. Money spent, money gone. I said, but you see, what I have done is to invest into your future. If you get this, it will bless you, and your blessings will affect me, will bless me also. Is that okay? That's wisdom. Spend your money wisely, invest it. Don't blow it. Hallelujah. When we were going to buy where we built our house, I didn't want to build there, but my wife said, please, please, let's. So I was saving money. Look at me. Anything you've seen me done, I save. I'm still waiting for the day God will just give me millions. Boom. Somebody will just bring it. God said, I should give you this money. I'm still waiting for that. It will happen in Jesus' name. But before it happens, I save. Anything you give me, if you give me 10,000, I've saved 22,000 out of it. Anything you give me, I save. If you see me spend money now, I have no way I'm going to pull out the savings. I save 2,000. So you will think I am rich. I am rich. Because so I had 6 million naira, and the land was 12 million. My wife wrote a check of 6 million and gave to me. So I said, you see now, my investment of 50,000 of many years ago is yielding dividends now. Money spent is money gone. Money invested is the money that will bring return. Invest your money. Oh, I'm not doing financial. Why did you get here? We're talking of power. Oh, I will do financial teaching another time. Number four. Aha. All church workers, pay attention. Nehemiah chapter 4, verse 15 to 17. Your activities must be balanced with spirituality. Activities with what? If you are sleeping, shout hallelujah. Eji. Where is hallelujah, Eji. Activity plus spirituality. Don't be involved in so much activity to the detriment of your spiritual life. You are a spiritual being. What did I say? Build your spiritual life. Activity minus spirituality may waste you. May you not be wasted. Pastors pray. Workers pray. Now in this passage, the Bible says, and it came to pass, Nehemiah chapter 4, from verse 15. It came to pass when our enemies, you have enemies, when it was known, when they heard that it was known unto us, and God had brought their counsel to naught, that we return, all of us, to the wall, everyone unto his work, we return to build. And it came to pass from that time forth that the half of my servants wrought in the work, and the other half of them held both the spear and shields, and the bows, and the habergeons, and the rulers were behind all the house of Judah. Verse 17. They, pay attention, they which builded the wall, those who are in a building, in activities in the church, and they were that bear, and they that bear body, with those that are laden, everyone with one hand or one of his hands wrought in the work, and the other held the weapon. Don't carry offering basket without a weapon. Don't stand up as an usher without a weapon, without a spiritual life. It is not everybody that comes to church that is normal. Witches come to church. Wizards come to church. People who come to try you come to church. Ogoni people come to church. Nobody puts a label. You don't stop anybody from entering church. Satan also comes to church. The devil goes to church. Maybe that is why some people are sitting down quietly. Let me not join workout. I don't want anything to attack me. One man told a pastor, he said, you see, that's why I'm not serious with my Christianity. That's why I'm not a worker in the church. I don't want, see, because those who are doing work for God, Satan will always be seeing them and will attack them. That's why I'm not serious with my, I'm serious with my Christianity, but that's why I'm not involved in any activity. You know what that person is saying? I'm not offending you. No, you are not fighting Satan. No. Your activity must be with spirituality. May you not be wasted. I said, may you not be wasted. I was attending a minister's conference. No, not even a minister's conference. Workers meeting here. God's servant of blessed memory, Dr. Bola Akinjohn. How many of you were the training workers training then, many years ago? You heard what he said about an usher that asked one woman, sit here. You mama said, nah, here I won't sit. Madam, sit here. Finish. Spirituality. You kneel down. Before people on behalf of God, without standing before God on behalf of men. Did I make any sense? Spirituality must be added to your activity. Oh, don't be doing activities. Just be doing activities. You know, have the prayer life. Come from Ezra Project, Bible study, you will not come. Come for prayers, you will not come. Pray online VG, you will not come. Online prayer, 30, 40 minutes every day, for 30 days only, you will not come. You will be sleeping. Then you will have a bad dream. You will not come, pastor, I just have a bad dream. Go and sleep again, redream the dream. You wake up and pray. You just pray. Build up your spiritual life. Building up yourself on your most holy faith. All time. Activity plus spirituality. Number five, faith plus work. Your faith must be with work. James chapter 2, verse 14 to 18. Work. Faith must be with work. Balance it. Don't just have faith without work. Don't just have faith. Please, when you should be working, don't be praying. Don't be praying when you should be working. Except you are the one who you have control over your time now. You want to pray, come and pray. Launch power. Go back to your work. In your office, where they are paying you salary. They are paying you salary. And instead of working, you are not praying, reading Bible. I'm praying. I have done it before. I did it when I was practicing as a lawyer. That was when I knew that. I'll be in the office. No law book interested me. I won't read the case file. All I needed was to just glance. So my boss noticed, he would just walk into the office and drop file. You are going to court this morning. Court sits at 9 o'clock, and this is quarter to nine. You're going to court to handle this case. And I will jump up with the exam. All I needed to do was just flip through the files. You know, if you know, you know. Anything you know it. And I will go to court and I will speak with authority, because you know. You know, knowledge gives you boldness. Oh my God. If you don't have knowledge, you'll be stammering. I have confused senior advocates as a young lawyer, 2 years at the bar, confounded them, opposed them. In fact, I was a senior advocate, a senior counsel. I stood up and I asked the court to instruct him to tender an apology to me, and I was a copper. He should tender an apology. He called me a liar. I said, "My Lord, I take objection to what the learned senior has said, and I deserve an apology. This matter will not proceed until he apologizes." It's an assassination of my character. I was talking, you know, when you are just fresh in school, you just be talking, you know, and the judge looked and said, "Well, Mr. Assassin, please apologize." "My Lord, I'm serious. I know what I'm talking about." His boss is not. I said, "My Lord, objection. Please, I need the protection of this court." And the man stopped out of the court in anger. He apologized for calling me a liar. I said, "Very well, we may proceed." It's good to know what you are doing. But I have told you, when I saw that I won't read, I'll be reading Bible, reading Christian books. So when God said, "Leave this job," he paid me all because of the money. But I left. I left to no salary, but I found fulfillment. Balance your faith with work. What? Let's read that scripture, and then I don't need to talk too much. Let's read it. James chapter number 2 from verse 14. "What does it profit, my brethren? Do a man say he has faith and have not works? He has faith and no work. Can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked, destitute of daily food, and he comes, one of you now say to them, 'Depart in peace, be warmed and be filled. God satisfy your hunger.' Notwithstanding, you do not give them those things that are needful to the body. What does it profit?" Verse 17. "Even so, faith, if it has no work, is dead, being alone." Verse 18. We'll stop there. Verse 18. "Yea, a man may say, 'You have faith, I have works. Show me your faith without your work. I will show you my faith by my works.'" Faith is an active thing. You must work. Show it. And go to work. If you want to make money, work. If you want to pass, read. Read. Study. We want to make babies. You have prayed. You've seen that you are okay. Then, know your wife. Know your wife. Know her the Bible knowing. Which means, have conjugal relationship with your wife. Which means, sleep with your wife. I'm not saying sleep on the same bed. Yes, I mean have sexual interactions with your fucking break here. That wouldn't break here. One man was trusting God for the fruit of the womb. He spent 6 months in Sweden. Comes to Nigeria for 2 months. Within the 2 months, he would travel to Abuja, go to Port Harcourt. So maybe he's around only for 4 weeks, you know, not together. So we're praying. So I called him. I wasn't a doctor. I had not even known Dr. Lagudu. What year did he invite me to preach, to teach, preach in your school? Was it 2008? No. When you were president of the medical association? 2006. I don't even think like that. I don't know if that has started. I had known him since 2006 to go and preach in when he was president of the medical association. So I didn't know medicine. But I told the man, sir, when you come back, this trip, is it possible for you to stay home for 3 months? He said, yes, I will adjust. I said, then don't travel. I said, if you must travel, go with your wife. I said, behave as if you are in the honeymoon. Sleep with your wife. If you can't sleep with her every day, every other day, enjoy your life. Enjoy. Then after, come back, let's pray. By the time they came back, the wife was pregnant. So many things is not prayer. It's just wisdom. Balance it. Balance. Somebody say balance. Number six. Your gift, talent must be with your gift, talent, charisma must be with character. You balance it with character. Your gift, balance it with character. Your talent, balance it with character. Your charisma, that man is so charismatic. That sister is so charismatic. When he sings, when he preaches, oh, powerful, he's gifted, he's talented. And in character, zero. You cannot climb high where your character is very low. A character deficient man can never make an impact. If grace or gift, if talent, you know, the gift of a man maketh room for him. If gift makes room for you, talent will keep you, character will keep you in that room. Huh? Gift, talent, open door for you, character will keep you there. Obinrin omo wa wu. Olohun olori oko. Ejire mo gbe na si ade o ete ti e gbo na si ami o. Se jare omo na lende. Character. I have told you of a lady who was having breakups in relationship. The last relationship, four, after introduction. And this one broke up again. I said, what happened? He said, we had a little misunderstanding. I said, what led to the misunderstanding? What happened? What did he do when that misunderstanding? He said, I got angry. What did he do when he got angry? He said, she said, I slapped him. I said, was that the first time you slapped him? She started crying. She has slapped the brother, not once, not twice. The person you want to marry. Why are you? And he now says he's not marrying you again. You are not coming to me. Hey, yo, can tell me. It's not demon. It's not demon. It's character. It's character. Somebody say here. Change your character. I see your character is an advanced person of who you are. Where you have not gotten to, your character will have gone there ahead of you. So that's why you must be careful how you live your life. Number seven, prayer plus the word. Minister Ayo mentioned that when he was going to invite me, that you pray, you must add the word. The word of God is the bullet that makes your prayer effective. What did I say? The word is the bullet that makes your prayer effective and productive. So, add the word, so you must know the word. Let me have this last one and then we close. Prosperity must be with humility. What did I say? Prosperity or promotion must be with humility. When God prospers you, you must see the humble. Now, we don't know who you are. until you think you have been made. Until money comes. We don't know your true character until money, until promotion comes. When promotion comes, some people can no longer be corrected. When money comes, some people can no longer be led. When money comes, money is a spirit. It pushes out the real you. Joseph, when money comes, are you still going to be in the sanctuary washing toilets? I mean money. I'm not talking of this small change. Big money. Will you still walk? Will you still be in the sanctuary when big money enters your hand? Mommy. Yababu. When people church, will you still be searching Marshall and Josh? When big money comes, will you not just sit still? That pastor is fine. The pastor is fine. You now sit down and cross your leg. Oh, these guys are trying. Excuse me, resident pastor. It's money that is making you do. Not that you don't know what to say. I understand. But you used to work before. You were a worker. Now you're not saying, I understand you need. He's not the one that is the church. I understand. Okay. God will help us. We'll send some things. Let's see how it goes. We will collect it. Now say thank you. But where is your reward? I'm not saying it's wrong to give. I'm not. Don't misunderstand. I'm saying keep doing what you are doing. Whatever you did that opened the door of greatness to you, please don't stop it when you have become great. Stand to your feet.
You have just listened to The World of His Grace through God's choice servant, Yemi Adeleju. We believe in the ability of the world to transform, renew, and change your life for the better as you embrace and do the Word of God. Join Yemi Adeleju in two life-changing services at the Life Cathedral, Airport Bus Stop, Samunda Juwe Road, Ibadan, every Sunday. First service, 7:30 a.m. Second service, 9:30 a.m. Lighthouse International Christian Center, where grace lived. God bless you. Real good.